The wonderful Irish ballad Oro Shidavaha Walya, a welcome home originally for the Jacobite hero Bonnie Prince Charlie, sung there by Shannó singer Dárach O'Cahan, and later rewritten by Padraig Pearse to praise the 16th century pirate queen Grainne Whale or Grace O'Malley. I'm Therese McIntyre, and in this episode I'm exploring the women in hero songs, like Grainne Whale or Grace Gifford. Grace, sung there by Donna Taggart. Grace Gifford was an artist and activist who married the 1916 rebel leader Joseph Plunkett in Kilmainham Jail before his execution. And I'm looking at how songs like that, or the ballad Anne Devlin, portray women in history. And for a contemporary view, Magdalene Laundrie's, giving voice to the hidden history of women.
To the eyes of an innocent child, hide what is burning inside, the shame and the guilt of disgrace. They said she had fallen from grace to the arms of a train engineer who escaped when the verdict was clear, saw she was quietly installed in the Magdalene Laundry.
Frances Black singing The Magdalene Laundries. Kate Bush with Mná na hÉireann, Seán Ó Riadh's heir to the 18th century poem by Padraig O'Donnell. In our series, we've heard many songs to male heroes and leaders, like Emmet, Parnell and Connolly. But while women are there across our history, they're often not sung about as the protagonist. But more as in Mná na hÉireann, where Ireland becomes a woman, as in the theme of an Aisling or love song. Women in our songs are often passive, witnesses to history, or victims rather than leaders. Here are some of the singers who've worked with us on the absence of women in our song tradition.
The female songs I know are more about just women who are in a story as opposed to a hero. They are seen as the person on the side who mourns the death of their lover and can't move on.
There are just not that many songs about female heroes, you know, particularly in Irish history. For instance, I don't know any song about Countess Markievicz. I don't know of a song about her.
It's definitely the case that women's contribution to society in general and to the struggle for independence is undervalued and underplayed. Certainly that finds its reflection in the songs.
We as a community of singers and songwriters should write about fantastic women who were involved. Really, I'd love to see more songs about the women of that period.
It probably doesn't come as a surprise to any woman that there are few enough songs that cast women as the hero, because that's the story of humanity, sadly, is that the hero is the man, and there are strong dividing lines based on gender and access to power, and the songs merely reflect what's going on.
Yeah, I don't think there's enough heroine songs, really. I'd like to hear more. There's very few, actually, that I know of. So definitely I feel there should be a few more. Maybe we'll have to go off and write a couple of songs.
Niamh Parsons, Gerry O'Reilly, Dermot Branagh, Fergus Russell, Irlo Linnard and Frances Black there.
Shade of a heaven, Boleyn, Verbeer, Grachtoving, even the Gohevra, Ishell of Mirloch.
So let's start with an 18th century song written for a man, Bonnie Prince Charlie, one of our lost leaders in episode 3, which Padraig Pearse converted to Gráinne Uaill, using her, like the Aisling, as a metaphor for Ireland in her struggle.
Tá Gráinne Uaill é triail thar sáile, ógail é garam a lé mór gharda, gaeil id hé ní gaeil na Spáinnig. Is cuir is iad ruaig ar gála, ó ró siad a bheith a bhaile, bairlum tú na cead bó bhaine, ó ró siad a bheith a bhaile, an nís ar hacht an tóirig.
Corkman John Spillane with a rousing version of Ó ró siad a bheith a bhaile. But who was the 16th century pirate queen, Gráinne Uaill, Grace O'Malley? Anne Chambers is the author of a study on her.
She was an extraordinary woman. In my opinion, there is no analogy for Grace O'Malley, not merely in Irish history, but in the history of whatever country one cares to mention. Her motivation would have been different to what Padraig Pearse had intended. But of course, he saw in her and he knew of her as this powerful woman. The fact that Grace O'Malley became symbolised in poem and in song is a great testimony to her impact she made, the factual impact she made on her age. Grace O'Malley lived in a very disturbed political time in Ireland when one more powerful neighbour was trying to overtake a weaker one. England was more advanced, certainly in terms of warfare, than Gaelic Ireland was. All these things come into play in Grace O'Malley's life. She had to look after herself, her family, and her extended family. And indeed, Grace O'Malley became the unofficial or de facto chieftain of not only her own clan. Grace O'Malley became the de facto chieftain of a huge swathe of the west of Ireland. She had a private army of 200 men who could serve her by land and sea. Grace O'Malley was the only daughter of an Irish chieftain. She became really very much a woman in a man's world.
Ó ró siad a bheith a bhaile, sung there by Sinead O'Connor. The song was used as a march by the Republican Volunteers and it features in the film The Wind That Shakes the Barley. In both Spillane's and O'Connor's version, you have that sense of almost military aggression. At the opening of this episode, you heard the enchanting Shannos version of Dárach O'Cahan, and that's the one that singer Irlo Leonard loves best.
His version of Ó ró siad a bheith a bhaile is what the Cor Cúile used as their bedrock, because of course Dárach O'Cahan was a very good friend of Seán O'Riordan's. I'm very attracted to Dárach's version because he has a different music to his version. The school version is like, Ó ró siad a bheith a bhaile, Ó ró siad a bheith a bhaile, Ó ró siad a bheith a bhaile. They go up like that, but he goes, Ó ró siad a bheith a bhaile, an is ar hacht an tábhairg. He goes way down, and it's very beautiful, very powerful, incredible, really. It's like his voice is just carved out of the rock back there. The lyrics in Ó ró siad a bheith a bhaile are so pointed, you know, they're so like Avui Leria Navart Gavekum or a mimid bion a yegach shachtan Gráinne Uaill agus míle gashkiach ag fógart fáin ar ghálib. It's like Gráinne Uaill with her 1,000 heroes fighting, battling the Brits, you know. It's in your face, shall we put it that way? I mean, even when we sang it in the choir, you can be very, very sure that, you know, one was singing it with political things in mind, all through the troubles and so forth. You know, music, it can, of course, be used as a political voice. And unfortunately, sometimes the downside of that is that it acts as a dark lens. It won't let you really see what's going on. It usually ends up in you taking sides.
Iarla O'Linard there, with an insightful take on the dangerous potency of political ballads and the way in which Oro Shidavahawalia and the portrayal of Grace O'Malley was used. Across the series, women have often been the love interest in many of our heroes' lives. Sarah Curran with Robert Emmett, and that image of the broken-hearted lover, wife and mother is an archetype for the female in song. Like Thomas Moore's ballad about Curran, she is far from the land.
She is far from the land where her young hero sleeps and lovers around her are sighing. But coldly she turns from their gaze and weeps for her.
But another woman in Emmett's life was, of course, his housekeeper, Anne Devlin, who took an active role in The United Irishman. She famously refused to betray Emmett despite being tortured. And a modern song by composer Pete St. John is a rare example of a female hero song.
In Dublin town they sing of a brave, Wicklow woman, of her troubles and her time. Cruel Kilmainham jail, all the way from Butterfield Lane, and Devlin was her name, a friend to Robert Emmett. She served his cause in vain.
Here's Dermot Brannock, a singer with the Gaoleen Traditional Singers Club.
In the Anne Devlin song, she is a hero. And not only is she a hero, but the song puts the record right. Because I remember when I was at school, I was taught that she was a brave servant. So in that sense, it's like a loyal member of the underclass, a loyal worker or something like that. But she was a member of the United Irishmen. And there's another one, Betsy Gray, who's also sung about in the North. Unfortunately, I don't know that song, but I intend to learn it. Anne Devlin, who's buried in Glasnevin, was a real hero. She suffered pain and she suffered torture and she suffered imprisonment and she never gave them any information. She was a member of their group. The fact that she was portrayed as a servant was in order to give her a good cover, both socially and politically, for being where she was in a house full of men. It is really about her, and deservedly so. She was a great hero, and we had lots more. And it's a pity that there aren't more songs about him.
Dermot Brannock there on Anne Devlin. If anything, the ballad Grace, about Grace Gifford, reduces Gifford's life solely to her relationship with the song's real hero, Joseph Plunkett, one of the signatories of the 1916 proclamation. Gifford and Plunkett were due to marry Easter Sunday, and in the aftermath of the rising, they married in Kilmainham Jail, just before Plunkett's execution.
Oh, will they say we fail? From our school days they have told us we must yearn for liberty. But all I want in this dark place is to have you here with me.
The song was written by Frank and Sean O'Mara in the 1980s, and while it puts Grace in the title, the song is Plunkett's voice in perspective. Grace, who was a talented artist, was like her sister Nellie, politically and socially active throughout the Labour and Republican movements of the day. After the Rising, she and her other sister Muriel, who married Thomas McDonough, were prominent 1916 widows. Grace was involved in the anti-treaty side of the Civil War and herself imprisoned in Kilmainham. I went to meet Honourable Conn, Grace's grandniece, to get her perspective.
We must say goodbye. She came from a most extraordinary family. They were brought up in Temple Villas in Rathmines. The father was a solicitor, and the parents were two religions, which was a bit unusual, where the father was a Catholic and the mother was a Protestant. But the effect was that they were all, or most of them, brought up in Protestant schools and so on. Girls, several of them became Catholics afterwards, and that made quite a difference. I think it was to do with their identification with nationalism. Grace was very involved in the world of art, and she was a cartoonist.
GPO. I had to leave my own sphere. To him I had to go. So Grace, just hold me in your arms and let this moment linger. They take me out at dawn.
She went and bought a wedding ring in Grafton Street from Mr. Stoker, and she went to the jail where they had arranged, possibly through Father Sherwin, who had baptised her just a few weeks before, for the marriage to happen. She was left to wait for a few hours and on her own, very strange circumstances. It must have been entirely miserable. And when she was brought in to the chapel, it was full of men with guns, men with bayonets standing around. Father McCarthy was there, and two witnesses who neither she nor Joe knew. They were from the army, and they were not allowed to touch each other. They were not allowed to speak to each other. And when the ceremony was over, Joe was taken away and she was taken outside by Father McCarthy. She was called back by the director of the jail in the early hours of the morning to get her last 10 minutes with Joe. And she says most movingly of this, "We who had nothing, who had never had time to say what we wanted to say to each other, now had nothing to say, or now didn't know what to say."
Blood upon the road. So Grace, just hold me in your arms and let this moment linger. They take me out at dawn.
It's that intense poignancy, tragedy, and emotion which the song captures. Here are singers Dermot Branagh and Fergus Russell on how they see the ballad.
I remember the first time that was brought home to me on a tour in Kilmainham Jail. I burst into tears. It affected me that much. And the irony was that at the invitation of the tour guide, I was actually doing translations from the English of the tour guide to Spanish for a group of Basques who were going through. I don't speak Basque, but I do speak Spanish. She'd invited me to sing Grace, so I actually sang Grace right in the middle of the jail there. It did bring me to tears.
I think, while it's about grace, it's not a song that really represents the women of 1916 and 1913 and that whole era. It's really the love story, I think. So Grace is a fine song in the genre which it's in, but it doesn't represent her as the hero so much as the love that she's given to Plunkett is the real central issue in the song. So really, I'd love to see more songs about the women of that period.
Fergus Russell there. And you heard Gerry O'Reilly earlier make the point that there's no song remembering one of the most prominent women of the time, Constance Markovich. It's only this year that the role of the Irish Women's Workers' Union, which Constance helped launch, has been commemorated with a plaque outside Liberty Hall. Now, the plaque was unveiled on International Women's Day, and activist Rita Fagan sang this song in the street to the tune of Lily Marlene to remember the striking female laundry workers whose actions won all workers the right to a paid holiday.
For a fortnight's holiday, they said we had to strike.
Some 40 years after that strike by the laundry women, another group of women strikers made history.
Pause a while, my friends, and listen to what I'm going to tell to you.
A strike at Dunn's supermarket in Henry Street, Dublin, over the blacking of South African produce is to go on.
Yesterday on the programme, we reported on the strike action by members of the Irish Distributive and Administrative Trade Union against Dunn's stores because of suspensions over the workers' refusal to handle South African oranges. The African National Congress, the ANC, has now issued a statement of support for Mary Manning and her colleagues. The statement says that the ANC deplores the action taken by the management of Dunn Stores and says it reminds them of the mass dismissals that take place in South Africa whenever workers demand trade union rights or better working conditions. Earlier this morning, I spoke to Bishop Desmond Tutu in Johannesburg, and I asked him how he had heard of the Dunn's dispute.
I got to hear from Don Mullins of Action from Ireland, and I would like to pay a very warm tribute to these young ladies who have had the courage of their conviction, and say to them that
10 young women and one young man. Now Mary Manning of Kilmainham, a 21-year-old cashier, was put to the test the very next morning, and she spoke up loud and clear. No, I'm afraid I cannot serve you, that grapefruit South African. Some of us here are opposed to apartheid, 10 young women and one young man.
You're listening to the song 10 Young Women and One Young Man, sung there by Cleana Ni Mórchú. And to find out more about it, I went to talk to Martin Ryan in Galway, who is well known for singing it with the Kinvara Singer Circle.
Even on that first hearing, being struck by the way the storyline, the narrative, carried through. And subsequently thinking about it and recognising the tune, of course, which is The Spanish Lady, which is another Dublin-based song about a strong woman. So to me, it seemed a perfect match. I believe its origins were that Eoin McCall, almost certainly with some help from Peggy Seeger, wrote the song around the time of the Dunn Stores campaign, around 85 or thereabouts. He sang it at a benefit gig in Liberty Hall in Dublin, and he recorded it on a limited issue cassette tape called White Wind, Black Tide. A couple of years after that, sometime around the late 80s, Radio Éireann did a series of programmes on McCall and Seeger. And during one of those, McCall sang the song, and I happened to have the tape recorder beside it. And that was how I ended up with the words.
Well, there was a hell of a hullabaloo, with moans and shouts and angry cries. The boss was foaming at the mouth, and the suits running round like blue-arsed flies. You'll sell that fruit or be suspended, we'll tolerate no union ban. How little did they understand the will of 10 young women and one young man.
The women take first place throughout. The men are either laughed at in the case of the bosses, or ignored, but not quite ignored, in the case of the one man who was there.
For days and weeks and months they stood there, held their nerve and kept the ban, showing the will and determination of 10 young women and one young man. So here's to the girls of Dublin City, who stretched their hands across the sea, gave the world a perfect lesson in worker solidarity. Here's to the folk who heed the boycott, won't buy cape and spurn out span, and to the fellow who made their number, 10 young women and one young man.
Martin Ryan singing 10 Young Women and One Young Man, a song written nearly 30 years ago by Eoin McCall. Christy Moore wrote a second song, which even more dramatically cast Mary Manning as the hero.
I can't check out your oranges, Mrs. Now won't you bring them back? For they come from South Africa, where white oppresses black. I'd have it on my conscience and I couldn't sleep at night if I had to support a system that denies black people's rights. Our union says don't handle them, it's the least that we can do. We fought oppression here for centuries, we'll help them fight it too. The managers descended in an avalanche of suits, and Mary was suspended.
People came from across the world to join the Henry Street pickets, which went on for nearly 3 years. Nelson Mandela, who was finally released in 1990, presented them with medals when he came to visit Dublin and said their actions had given him strength in prison.
Dunn Stores, Dunn Stores, Dunn Stores in St. Bernard,
Christy Moore ending The Ballad of Dunn Stores. But with so many women singers and writers now, are women's stories being written back into history and song? You heard Rita Fagan earlier remembering the striking laundry workers. 10 years ago, Frances Black recorded a Don Mescal song, Magdalene Laundries, which gave voice to the many thousands of women who endured a form of slave labor.
Through the eyes of an innocent child, can hide what is burning inside. The shame and the guilt of disgrace. They said she had fallen from grace.
It's really a powerful song, talking about the heartache and the injustice that went on and how sad, devastating it was. I do that song in my gig, and one woman came up to me through the night and she just said to me, I was in the Magdalene Laundries, and thank you so much for singing that song. I cried through the whole thing, she said, but I really appreciate the fact that you are now talking about it. And how heroic were they, wonderful, wonderful women, to survive such horrendous stuff that went on.
Sisters got angry today. They took Bridie Power away. They said she had broken the rules. She swore that the priest from the school, if only they'd asked why she cried, said they concluded she'd lied. Priest had his own alibi, the Magdalene Laundry. And now you can find them there, slaving each day in the heat and the steam. And now every bloody stain would be carefully scrubbed till it's white and it's clean.
Frances Black and the Magdalene Laundries. Next week, I'm exploring some heroes who may be more invented than real, like our own Molly Malone, sung here in a more upbeat mode by American jazz singer Maxine Sullivan.